If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We have been following the case in Arkansas. It's actually where I am, of the Devil's Den double homicide. It sounds like if you were to make up a headline, that would be a made-up headline. But it's true. Unfortunately, Clinton Brink and his wife, Kristen Amanda Brink, 43 and 41 years old, respectively, lost their lives there on Saturday while they were out for a hike with their kids. Married couple, new to the area. Moved to an area where I used to live right before I moved to this place. Same very small town. They came from Montana. Why were they here? We don't know all those details yet. But there's a lot of people who come to this area. It's big. It's growing. There's lots of opportunity. Good schools. Good jobs. There's a lot of reasons. They were hiking with their two daughters. And this is what makes the story incredibly heartbreaking and shocking and angering. They were 7 and 9 on a sunny Saturday afternoon. I've done this with my daughter. In fact, I think the last time I was at Devil's Den, she was 9. She's 12 now, but I went back through some footage yesterday and found us hiking at Devil's Den. And it was fun. It was a beautiful place. It is a beautiful place. What took place on that trail while they were out enjoying their day amongst many other people. This was a busy, busy hiking trail that day. A man approached. And from what we understand and what we're about to hear in the interviews that I've conducted exclusively here with True Crime Today, from the 911 dispatcher of this moment in time and a couple who literally saw the killer and interacted with him prior to this happening, just moments before, what we understand, and this is from the accounts of the children, is that the attacker approached Dad first and stabbed him directly in the chest. That's what the children are alleging. The wife screams, "Why are you doing this?" And she yells for her children to run as far and fast as you can. Those kids heed that warning, and they ran as far and fast as they could. And as they have described it, according to the 911 dispatcher in Washington County, they ran until they couldn't hear their mother scream anymore. This is stuff straight out of a horror story, or horror movie, or a book. Or one would say, that's totally made for TV. It's not. It happened. And we're going to break it down today and bring you the latest that we know, at least as of our recording here right now. We're going to go through those interviews and let you hear firsthand from people who were on the trail that day. Stacy, when you first heard about this, I mean, I think it resonates with a lot of people because, I mean, if you like outdoors, hiking is a thing a lot of us do. And the last thing we think about, at least I do, is getting stabbed to death on the hiking trail, the busy hiking popular trail.
Saturday, I went, a veterinarian friend of mine that I used to work with, we're going to go do pizza on the farm. There's a farm out in Athens, Wisconsin. It's about a half hour from where I live. They do organic stuff. They grow all their own wheat, everything. I mean, everything on the pizza is grown on the farm. But before we went to the farm, there was a park called Athens Park. And it's right in the middle of Athens, Wisconsin, which is a teeny tiny little town. Very quaint park, very cute little. I mean, there's a stream running through it. There's bridges. It was just a lovely park. And we hiked it for about a half hour before we went to the farm. And on the trail that we were on, there was a weird guy just like following us. And, you know, I've alluded to the fact that I'm in martial arts now. And I'm in I call it a very violent martial arts called Kali. And we do a lot of knife training. And I'm just going to say it. I'm suddenly single as of almost a month now. I, being a single woman, I carry a pocket knife on me now because I know how to use a knife. Mm-hmm. And I had my hand in my pocket during that hike. It's the first time I've kind of felt scared in a like state park, county park, anything like that. But the guy just was encroaching on us and I couldn't understand. I mean, you're in nature. There's, you know, different trails to go on all over the place. And he was coming up behind us. It was very odd. And it made me very uncomfortable. And then yesterday I saw that you did this story and I just read it and my heart just sank. Like, this could be anybody. This literally could be anybody in a park. And I don't want people to be afraid of going to parks. But when you look at the Delphi case, when you look at this case,
had a lot of murders on hiking trails.
I know. What is going on?
It's, I mean, it's something that, I mean, if you look at it, it's a, I guess, easy place to get targeted. The Rachel Morin case, she was out for a run.
Yes.
That was another one recently. Maybe I should have been thinking of this more, but I don't know. I mean, it's... I don't know.
You'd like to think that you would be safe in these places, that you're the only thing you'd need to worry about are the amount of mosquito bites, ticks, maybe a bear, depending on where you are. But you shouldn't have to sit and worry about some psychopath deciding this is where I'm going to fulfill my destiny to be like Brian Koberger. No.
Yeah. And that's precisely, well, we don't know what the motive is as of this moment in time, but someone... certainly was attempting to fulfill some portion of their destiny. How that ends as of now, the person is on the loose. This is what happened yesterday. This is a conversation I had with a couple who was out there, their husband, the wife, along with two family members and their dog. This is how they described that situation at Devil's Den State Park. Less than an hour before... a couple lost their lives. Let's take.
So we were out, the four of us. So me, my sister, her boyfriend, and my fiance here, and their dog, my sister's dog, who is a good sized golden doodle as well. So the five of us, I guess, left Fayetteville probably around 9:00. Got to the park 9:30 or so, and we hiked a couple trails. I think we did the Yellow Rock Trail first, and we finished that one and then went on to Devil's Den Trail right after that, pretty much. We parked at the little parking area, closer to the river, not where the visitor center is necessarily.
Okay. All right.
Went up there. Yeah, very hot. We, you know, drinking water all day long.
Yeah.
I will say that the main thing that probably stuck out, or the reason why, you know, we even think that we came across this guy, is because everyone else essentially was in pairs or in families, really, mm-hmm. for the most part. And, you know, as we're walking, everybody's pretty slow moving, and it's hot. It's, you know, a little dangerous out there, right? So everybody's slow moving. This guy was, he's head down and full steam ahead, I mm-hmm. would say, right? Not really taking in the nature
sure.
at all. And at this point we were probably on the section of the trail near the caverns.
Okay.
We had passed the little ice box, and we're going through the cavern section there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just came speeding by us. I think my sister was out in front, and she turned around and looked at me, and he kind of side-eyed all of us as he walked by.
So
really intensely.
Did he come up from behind you, or was he coming towards you?
He was coming straight towards us.
Okay. I mean,
we saw him coming a good minute off, and there's also two directions of the trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of pick which direction you want to go. We went down the riverside first,
mm-hmm.
and then came up. So I guess we were going east.
Sure.
You know, and kind of looped around and finished the west. So he was walking straight towards us at that point. And again, just really caught us off guard.
Yeah.
He was by himself, moving quickly. And the thing that, I mean, we all noticed that he side-eyed us, and my sister turned around and looked at me, and I was already making a face and turning around to look mm-hmm. at him, you know, just kind of naturally, like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, reaction. Like, that was odd.
Was it an inquisitive look? Sorry. Like, did he slow down when he got near you, or was he still kind of, you know, just giving you a look as he seemingly, would you say it felt like he was on a mission, like he had a place he was going to?
Yes, kind of. He definitely looked us up and down, you know, like he gave us a good side eye.
Yeah.
He looked at all of us. I know his eyes were blue,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of bright, kind of blue, sea green tint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had stubble on his face, short brown, brown blonde stubble, short blonde hair, maybe like 2 inches long or so.
Mm-hmm.
Had a hat on. But I mean, it was the look on his face. It was the way he was walking. And then when I turned around to look at him, I noticed that he had a backpack that, you know, I've been sports all my life, all different types. This was not a backpack or like a sports bag that I would have recognized the particular type of sport.
You know,
it was overly large as well for what you would carry while you're camping
mm-hmm.
or hiking for that matter. It wasn't right. It was kind of black mesh
mm-hmm.
with it was kind of half mesh, half vinyl plastic material, and I just never really seen one like that, and that caught my eye for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that was kind of one thing that I noticed and made me kind of turn around and look at him like, what is he doing? And mm-hmm. my sister is a little bit more, I don't know, emotionally intuitive mm-hmm. than I, and she was like, I did not like his energy or anything like that, and that was weird. You know, she immediately turned around to you know, tell me try to talk to me about what was that. So
you had mentioned the facial features. You said some stubble. Did you say blonde hair or brown hair?
It was like dirty blonde.
Dirty
like
blonde.
Kind of in between, right? You know, dark blonde, light brown.
Was he wearing a hat at the time?
Hair. He was wearing a hat. I would say that it was a dark hat, probably baseball cap style.
Mm-hmm.
I think I recall seeing one of those. It was like a leather patch on the front of it. I think it was something along those lines. I could see it was like, you know, a patch of, mm-hmm. or something like that on the very front of the cap.
How tall would you say the man was?
He was around my height, maybe a little shorter. So I would go 6'5" to 5'10", somewhere in that range, most likely.
Like, what kind of build are we talking about on this guy?
A little stocky. Not super thin, but definitely not fat. You know, so
kind of just average.
A good stocky build.
Okay.
Yeah. I would consider myself quite a thin, tall guy. And he was, you know, much wider than me. Right?
Did he have anything? Like, did you notice a knife on his body or anything? I wonder if that was in the pack. What did you see? Did you see anything physically on him other than what he was wearing?
I did not see anything in his hands. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was kind of grabbing the, you know, like how you hold on to a backpack when you're walking. Mm-hmm. He was holding the sides, the straps, you know, as he was walking by us. I did not see anything, if he had anything in his hands or not. But I tell you, it looked like he had something in his backpack. I mean, you could tell that there was weight in the bottom of that the bag. It looked like it had weight in it. And turned around to look at him.
How busy were the trails yesterday? I mean, just for perspective here for folks, today we're at 105 degrees with the humidity. So yesterday was very similar. It's a very, very hot day out there. Was there a lot of people on the trail?
There was. We were passing people every 5 to 10 minutes, you know, easily. Mm-hmm. Passing someone passing us going the other direction. You know, we were, like, again, you can go either way on the trail. So we were passing people. People are coming against, you know, against the grain. Lots of families. That's the predominant thing, right, is a bunch of parents, lots of kids, lots of couples, obviously, you know, the four of us.
Yeah.
Are a couple, lots of dogs as well. I mean, a lot of dogs out on the trails in general.
Which makes it very odd
hot.
For this to take place in the middle of a Saturday in a very busy trail on a very busy day, that's what makes it all the more odd. It seems that this would happen in a place like this. The odds of getting caught are fairly high. Obviously, they now know some information about him. Were you aware of anything that was amiss while you were out there? Did you find this out after you'd already left?
No, yeah, we didn't find out until this morning. Actually, we were going to eat breakfast, and my fiance was looking on Facebook, and we saw a repost of a post that the sheriff's department had made, you know, announcing that there was a double homicide at Devil's Den yesterday afternoon. We were like, "What?"
Yeah,
we left the park at 1:30, and it says that they were reported at 2:30.
Yeah,
I mean,
it would have happened probably around the time. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think, too, what was so intriguing was as soon as we saw that post, you know, I feel like I didn't notice the man as much. I had the dog strapped to me and was just trying to kind of focus on that. But all three of them said, "Do you remember that man?" And we had no idea a description of him yet. We had no idea what trail it was even on. So I think as we uncovered and found out more. It's like, oh man, this is definitely the person that we interacted with, and this is definitely the time frame where we were walking right past him as he went up to this couple. I mean, we interacted with multiple families as we were walking these trails. We interacted with families that had GoPros like on them walking around. And so we all looked back at all of our photos, at all of our videos to see if we could find anything. But it's so eerie to be so close to evil.
Oh God, yeah. That was that conversation that I had yesterday with the couple about 24 hours after the murders took place.
What must be going through their minds that it could have been them.
Yeah.
It absolutely could have been them. They saw the guy. He made a choice to not do the attack at that moment. Mm-hmm. It's because this was premeditated. He had everything he needed. It wasn't a spur of the moment, I'm going to kill somebody. He planned to go there and do this.
The question is, was he targeting specific people? Was he targeting that family directly? We don't know the answer.
I'm guessing not.
I don't know. There's no way to know at this moment. And there are
the dog may have been a deterrent.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because there's a moment where he's coming up to these people that we just talked to, and I almost want to say, like, sizing him up. Like, is this, at least that's what will be running through my mind, the way it was described. Or, I mean, it could have been a look of, okay, there's people here, and these are not the people I'm looking for. I don't know. The words, "Why are you doing this?" That was what was yelled out by Mrs. Brink as her husband was being stabbed next to her, allegedly.
it makes you wonder, why are you doing this? Is that what you say to a, I mean, would you say it to a complete stranger? I don't know. It's a hard one because some, I've read some people have said, so, like, I don't know that I mean, but I don't know in that moment in time, I think I'd be too, especially you don't know the person. Why are you doing this? Like, who are, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that leads into or what that means. I've, some behavior experts I've talked to says that that's said that that sounds like there's a familial aspect to it. Like, why are you doing it? Like, I wouldn't expect this person to be doing this. I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. I had a chance also to talk to a Washington County 911 dispatcher who was there taking the calls as this all happened in real time. Here's how that conversation or a portion of that conversation.
Yeah, that day I worked 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I had picked up coverage for someone who called in. So I'm normally not there until 2. Mm-hmm. And just before 2 o'clock, we start getting calls. I received a direct phone call from a young lady that worked there in the visitor center. And I had told her, oh, yeah, it sounds like we're already taking a call. And, you know, when we hear of kids being lost or something like that, that's what we were first thinking. Is it like they just maybe got separated from their parents? And then there was only 3 of us in the room at the time because it's not super busy on Saturdays.
Sure.
And the other 2 girls, you know, they're taking their calls and we all just kind of look at each other like, oh no, this is going to be a big one.
So I'd like you to give me some perspective here. What exactly took place that from what we know of how these children ended up, tell me how what happened here between the parents not being with the children to the children getting into some safe custody. Walk me through that whole scenario.
From what I understand, the children were found by another set of adults. I'm not sure how many or if they were, you know, a couple or whatever. Another dispatcher took that portion of the call and they found the kids running and screaming for help. And then they had stated their mother told them to run as far and fast as they can. And she said one of the girls said that they stopped running when they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore. That part still gets me. I have children as well.
Sure. No, I do too. I'm the same age as the parents and I have a daughter very close to the same age and we've hiked in that same place. And
I was just there not long ago with my family and my kids are a little older, but I mean, I've had kids in my life my entire life. Yeah. And it's just, there's certain things that you have a soft spot for, no matter how seasoned we are in dispatch. It's some things just kind of hit you. And
let's go back to the mother saying, run as far and as fast as you can. There's been reports that the father was initially, these are unconfirmed, that the father was initially attacked. Mm-hmm. The mom got back to the car with the kids and then she went back. Can you confirm or dispel any of that?
I can't confirm that. It's not lining up with what I believe we were told in our initial call. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, other people found the kids running and crying and and they heard their mom specifically ask him, why are you doing this? So that's what we were told. And those girls were speaking directly to the park ranger that was speaking to one of our most senior dispatchers.
The child asking, why are you doing this? The children asking that to the perpetrator?
No, mom.
Mom, okay.
No, mom asked, why are you doing this? So dad was stabbed first.
Okay.
And I believe the initial attack was directly in his chest.
Oh God, okay.
According to the little girls. Mm-hmm. And there was people that brought them to the visitor center from somewhere along the path. I mean, from what we understand and looking at the map, they ran pretty far on their own.
I want to go back to the stabbing itself. As you said earlier, from what you believe in the reporting you got from the kids speaking, that the father was stabbed first. Do we know, I'm not trying to be gory or anything, but how many times? Was this multiple stab situation? Was this a quick, go ahead.
I believe so. But I have not been told so. I just, from the sounds of the initial statements from the children, it sounds like they were possibly stabbed multiple times. Mm-hmm. But They saw dad get stabbed in the chest and mom told them to run, and she heard him, they heard her ask, "Why are you doing this?" Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said they just ran until they couldn't hear the mom screaming anymore.
Oh my God.
And
so the kids saw this happening is what we understand. Yes. They actually witnessed
it. Yes, and they did call him a stranger. So to my knowledge, the kids do not know who he was. You never know what they might forget under trauma, but...
Sure. Has there been anything that you've seen or heard that points to any sort of direction on this guy? If he was just completely random out there and just chose this family, or if this was a targeted attack? I mean, it seems obviously it's insane to begin with, but to do this on a hot summer day in the middle of the afternoon on a very busy hiking trail, this should be a place you're going to get caught if you're going to do this thing. That's right, why it doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah.
No, and then like everybody's saying, his clothing kind of stood out. People mm-hmm. obviously noticed him, but you don't realize what you notice until it's too late sometimes.
Sure.
I'm very glad that the other people saw his eyes, because you can tell a lot about a person about their eyes, and the fact that they said they were blue or green, that indicates that he's probably not Hispanic or Latino. Mm-hmm. I had one lady tell me he kind of had a tan, and that's not lying enough with everybody else.
In Arkansas in summer, that could be almost anyone.
Completely honest. So,
well,
that
what's
I mean,
really scary, yeah. Tony, is this guy is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's now seeing the footage. People are talking. I bet he's still in the area. I bet he didn't go far.
It's hard to know. Coffin Daffer has some thoughts on that. I got a chance to talk to her as well. This morning, to get her perspective as someone who, you know, investigated these people, hunted these people down, for years. Here's how that
went. Well, the first thing you always look at is the inner circle. You have to do it. Who knew they were out there hiking?
Mm-hmm.
Who might have reason to harm these two? You know, the parents. To me, when I saw the details mm-hmm. about he was gloved, they described it as, I think, weightlifting type gloves or other sorts of gloves that would be very unusual to be hiking in. As you mentioned, the backpack. I mean, this guy was on a mission. Mm-hmm. This was no accident. This wasn't just I think I'm going to kill somebody. This was somebody that planned this. So you have to start with that. Now, could it be random? It could be. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the Rachel Morin case that most of us are familiar with. Yeah. A lot of people wondered about that because she had a set thing that she, you know, her running style and where she ran and so on and so forth. And many people looked at that inner circle, but oftentimes these can be random. I would find it odd that it would be random. I mean, if you have a situation like that, you literally might have a predator out there that could be stalking hiking trails, just waiting for their next victim. It's spooky. Yeah.
And that's what I wonder about with this case. This family was brand new to the area. They had recently moved here from, I believe, Montana. First year, the kids are getting into school, and it's you know, kind of discovering the area. It's a lot of what I did. I went out and hiked a lot when I first moved to Northwest Arkansas. It's a beautiful area. There's not a lot of crime here. Walmart's headquartered here. We have a pretty good economy. So it's not a banjo sticks deliverance type situation when some think of the state of Arkansas. Very much not like that at all. I would picture more like Colorado in the area that we're in. We talked with a couple who were on the trail that day, about an hour before this took place, and they described this man came towards them. It was roughly 100 degrees that day on the trail, even hotter with the humidity, wearing a long sleeve shirt, long pants, the gloves, a hat, the big backpack. Again, not what you would expect. And walking, as they described, almost on a mission, but did look them up and down, made them feel very uncomfortable. And they passed many people that day on that trail. When they found that this had happened the following day, when they heard it in the news, this was the first person that they thought of as being likely the suspect. And it turns out it very likely was. To have someone out there, and I guess that the part that gets me is the looking up and down, the almost pause to look at this group and then continue on. And I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but it does make you wonder, was this man out on the trail looking for the right victim based on, is there anyone else around? Are these people I could take on? And then did he just find the ones that he thought he could? Was a mom and dad with two little girls under the age of 10?
Yeah, that is the victimology is something you always look at in these cases. But the good news, I think, is because this was such a well-traveled trail, mm-hmm. you're going to have information from where that car, I think it was a Mazda.
That's what they believe.
That's what they're believing. Yeah. It's still sketchy, right, Tony?
It is. A black four-door sedan, possibly a Mazda. I spoke earlier with the 911 dispatcher who handled this that day earlier today. And there is some consensus that it may have been a Mazda. Acura, BMW, people thought it might be a bit of a higher-end car than a Mazda. But a four-door sedan, something in those lines, and they believe it was a foreign car as well. The license plate had been taped over, so no one was able to identify the plate at all. But something of that line. They've not officially said a Mazda, but they said possibly a Mazda as of right now.
You know, I love it when these crooks think that that's a smart thing to do. You know, they get rid of their fingerprints, they do all these things. By taping that over, he's going to be seen taping it, or mm-hmm. he's going to be seen entering that park with it taped over. I mean, it makes it so clear, the travel and the voyage of that car. So that's always a mistake when these bad guys think that that's a good idea. But I think we're going to have a lot of trail cam footage mm-hmm. or other footage that is going to do him in. The fact that the kids saw him, mm-hmm. But I tell you, as an investigator, you would not normally, if you're going to attack somebody, you would want to attack somebody that was completely by themselves, mm-hmm. where no witnesses would be around or be seen or be left alive. You attack four people, the children get away. When I say attack, aggressively go forward. You're using a knife, which is so close in proximity, hand to hand. It's so personal mm-hmm. Compared to using a gun or a weapon. It means that you yourself are possibly going to leave a lot behind of you mm-hmm. because often in stabbings, you inadvertently stab yourself. The fight is on, right? So mm-hmm. DNA, there's sweat, it's 100 degrees out, as opposed to taking a pop shot at somebody mm-hmm. from a distance. So all these things are coming to mind to me, wondering if they had any enemies. It's just, that's definitely where I would start for sure, is who knew them and who had issue.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's hard to grasp if this is a random attack or if this was targeted, because in a lot of ways it feels targeted, but we don't know that fact as of right now. In a situation like this, and obviously people who carry out things like this, they do act in different ways, but we're now roughly 48 hours into when this crime took place. Where would you suspect maybe this man might be today? Is this someone who attacks? Is this the type of thing where they're going to stick around the area? They may want to go back to the general area of the crime scene. You can't get into the park right now. That area is all shut down. But as we saw in the Koberger situation, he went and drove by the home. Would you suspect that this might be a man that's lurking in plain sight in the public in the general area, or someone who may have fled far away by now?
Yeah, it depends. If this is completely random mm-hmm. and this is an individual who's stalking individuals and attacking, people hunt where they live, eat, and work. Mm-hmm. That's just, you don't go to another state or another area to hunt. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, if this is a random, he is around there, just like Koberger was. Mm-hmm. If this is not a random and this was targeted, I mean, then you have to wonder, was somebody hired mm-hmm. to do this hit and came from another state, came from another area, and then went back mm-hmm. To that area? So it really greatly depends on what this is going to be. But I tell you, I wouldn't be doing any hiking if I were in Arkansas in and around that area until this guy's caught.
Yeah, I don't think I'm hitting the trails. There's another excuse not to exercise for me.
Oh, geez. But she's not wrong.
No.
This is such a very specific killing. This isn't like opening fire at a Walmart or, you know, drive-by shootings. This is a very targeted way to go after somebody out in the wilderness where they really can't defend themselves unless they come armed.
And you're taking a family, two kids, and you let them go and let them run.
Yeah.
But why would you pick that group? I mean, if you're just randomly doing it, that would lead to witnesses. That doesn't make a lot of sense and that's what makes me think targeted.
The other thing
is, or crazy.
If it wasn't targeted and this is somebody who was trying out something, thinking Koberger lines.
Yeah.
Next time, if there's another attack, he's not letting the kids go.
Yeah.
So it escalates because now the kids are witnesses. They can talk. Next time, okay, I screwed up. I'm gonna take the kids out next time as well.
I'm gonna go with delusional as F. And this guy was not living in our same world. He had a backpack full of weapons in his brain. He was in video game land or whatever the hell he lives in, and saw that person as a threat. In for whatever reason, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's some sort of drug-induced something. I'm going to go with that so far. That is based on nothing other than just how random this feels. And until we know more about what's going on, I mean, the Hollywood story is going to be couple flees Montana to secret safe life in Arkansas. I doubt it. Could people have enemies somewhere else and they found him? I guess. But I mean, I'm looking at his employment history and such. There's not a, I don't know.
They probably just.
It doesn't seem like the guy who's going to have like a targeted hit out on him.
No, it does not.
It just doesn't. But, you know, there's things that go on in people's lives behind closed doors that we don't know. But I have no idea. I have no idea whatsoever, and I'm not trying to insinuate or accuse or anything like that. We just don't know. And that's why at this moment in time, we're literally less than 48 hours since this took place, or right at 48 hours since this took place. We just don't know. And that's the real answer. What we just don't know. But what we do know, as of right now, the physical description, a white male, likely in his 20s to early 30s, described as witness as having bright bloodshot eyes, either blue or green, facial stubble, described as kind of a blonde brownish, tan skin, but race many have confirmed as white, clothing. Witnesses are differing slightly on this, and I have a thought on it, but all report dark clothing, either a black tank top or long-sleeved shirt, dark pants, or shorts. Pants, it seems to be the main consensus from a lot of eyewitnesses. Was it a tank top or a shirt? I'm going to guess maybe it started as a long sleeve shirt and ended in a tank top as he left the park. If you killed somebody and you two people and you got blood on stuff on you, and that's got to be, it's hot. It's like 100 degrees out, literally 104 with the heat index at that moment in time. You might take the long sleeve shirt off.
Yeah.
So just a thought, a black hat and fingerless black gloves described as weightlifting style, a backpack. And this is a key detail that we've had from our reporting here at True Crime Today, carried a large industrial style backpack described as from the eyewitnesses described as something you'd use for gear or equipment, not hiking. Vinyl and mesh construction is how they've described it, not common for trail use, described as strikingly out of place. Then there's behavior before and after the attack. According to the couple that we talked to, the man passed them on the trail around 1:15 p.m., about 1 hour before the murders. He stared at them intensely, scanning them up and down, creating a strong feeling of discomfort. His clothing and gear immediately stood out, given the extreme heat of the day, 100 degrees. They were so disturbed by what they saw, they tried calling the sheriff's office, but got no answer. Well, they actually called the sheriff's office after the fact. It wasn't when they saw the man, they called the sheriff's office. They tried to call the sheriff's office once they had heard about this crime occurring, and they didn't get through. And that's a big problem. I'm hoping they've resolved this by now. I've expressed it quite a few times today. I've heard from several people in law enforcement over there. Well, it's this. Well, it's that. And I'm like, I don't care. If people
fix it,
I don't care. Well, fix it. People are trying to come to you, and I know they get all up in the air when they come to media. Why didn't you come to us first? They couldn't get through to you. So I don't know if little Jimmy's lemonade stand down the road can have a grasshopper phone line and take unlimited calls. I would think the Arkansas State Sheriff or the state police could handle something like that to be able to take calls when one is not available. I know it's a crazy invention called an answering machine, and now it's voicemail and now it's digital, and you can take unlimited calls if you really want to. I'll give you the $25 for the membership to Grasshopper for the month if you can't handle that much, okay? Jesus, it's like kitchen nightmares, I feel, in some of these things, where you go in and it's like, okay, well, what's not working here? Like, people are trying to give you tips. How is that process working? Well, they just call the number. Really? Because I've been trying to call it all day, and it just hangs up on you. And so have these people. They saw the guy. They can give you an eyewitness account, and they can't get to you. And God bless the people I talked to on the side who saw that and said, I work there. They could call this number. They could call. Yeah, well, that's great that I know that now, but when they were trying to call you, they didn't. So whatever number you're going to put out for people to call, make sure you can answer it. Or an email or something. Come on.
You're right, Tony.
It's big boy time.
I know. Do me a favor. Take a breath. Take a breath.
Stupidity. Incompetence. It drives me nuts. And and I'm going to call it out on anything in this case that I see. Like, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Hopefully they know who the guy is, but there's no excuse for this one. First 24 to 48 hours are the most important in any investigation, and your effing tip line doesn't work.
Yep.
Oh. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, the information that's been put out on this guy has sucked. It's really sucked. If I've been able to find out more than you to put out, there's a problem. Maybe this car, maybe that car. There's all these cameras. We're now past 48 hours and we still don't have a solid description on the vehicle. I feel like there's balls being dropped or people that don't have balls that are not doing their job. I don't know. And it's not an insult at women. I'm saying that mainly at I don't know, but this is already pretty freaking clunky. Let's sharpen up the shocks here, okay? So we can find this guy, because this is kind of a big deal. Thank you for listening.
Coming to your TED Talk.
I didn't want to say thank you for your attention to this matter, because I detest that shit. But
don't do that.
But yeah, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Do better. That's my point. I don't care. Do better.
There's two kids who are missing their parents now. We need to do better for them and try to get this case closed.
So as of what we know right now, the make model has been unconfirmed. Possibly a black Mazda. Some people have described it as being like that, like a foreign car, but maybe a little bit higher up, So an Acura, possibly a BMW, but it's a black four-door sedan, likely a foreign vehicle. And the exhaust, apparently very loud, possibly dual exhaust on that with four tips. That means two per side. That's from an eyewitness account. Witnesses said it sounded like a manual transmission, so that could be another possibility. Now, again, not all of this is confirmed. This is what we've gathered here from our reporting and witnesses that we've talked to and the dispatcher that we talked to, and combining it with anything that the police have relayed. So this is what's out. And also likely a clean, newer model of a vehicle. No visible damage on the sides or anything like that. The license plate probably changed by now, but it was taped over or covered with paper. He was last seen fleeing the scene rapidly. Which is what stood out, the speed and aggression of the driver. And again, 48 hours, so it doesn't really matter where he went, but it was Highway 170 or 220 heading north at that moment in time. So Arkansas State Police Criminal Investigations Division is leading the investigation as of now. The Washington County Sheriff's Office was the one who initially responded. Then it went to the state jurisdiction, and the FBI has offered assistance. I don't know if they've been taken up on that offer as of this moment. Likely U.S. Marshals would become involved once an identification has been made. So that's what we know right now. Were they targeted? We don't know. Children said, we don't know him. Those kids are also in shock. And, yeah. You know, and there's a lot of people, you know, kids don't know that the parents are involved with. So it doesn't really, at least, I mean, it wasn't like Uncle Louie or something, you know, it wasn't, right. You know, somebody that they would have recognized. So there's a lot. If you have any information on this, I'm going to hope, and I'm going to put the phone number out there again. And maybe it's working, guys, you know? 479-751-6663. Yes, Devil's Den, double homicide. There's a 666 in the phone number. How fitting. 479-751-6663, providing it works. That's what we have. So we're going to keep working this. We're going to keep getting you updates. If you know anything, if you were there and you have an account of it, please reach out to us. You can reach out to us via social media on Facebook. Just send us a direct message. I'm checking it quite regularly. We can communicate or X or what have you. If you want to follow me on X, it's at Tony B, the letter B as in boy, pod. If you want to reach out to me there and send a direct message, we'd love to hear what you have to say. That's all we got. We'll keep you up to date on the case. Let us know your thoughts on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski to find us there. Same with the podcast platforms as well. We will talk again very soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.